Alrighty. Well, Shabbat Shalom again to everyone with us, and Shabbat Shalom to everyone that will hear this message later. I gave a message last week, I think it was about a week ago now, maybe a little bit more, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the consequences of our actions, and how, again, how Yahweh holds us accountable to our words and the things that come out of our mouth, and everything that we say we need to accomplish. And I guess, in a way, this is kind of a part two to that message. And it's from 1 Corinthians 15:33. It's called Bad Communications Ruin Good Habits. Bad communications ruin good habits. And where in the other message I went in showing how decisions in our life, the consequences that can come from those decisions, I want to show today how communications by the people that we know, the communications we're with, you know, we talk a lot about marriage and the marriage covenant, and especially for younger people that are going to get married, the importance of the person you're going to marry, the importance of the people that you work for, you know, working for the right people, the bosses you have, and particularly the friends that you're with and the brethren that you're with, or so-called brethren. One of the messages I gave at Sukkot, which is a very, very sobering one, was on true repentance, that I said, when you look at all the scriptures in the Bible, it's fairly evident that in the end time, at least half the people that are sitting, you know, in the chairs claiming to be brethren are not true brethren, which is actually kind of sobering. So if there was ever a time that we have to think about the people we want to be close with and the relationships we're going to have, it's really now. Because in the West, I mean, things are just getting worse. It talks about in the end time, because the iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. It talks about brother betraying brother in the end time, and all these things that are going to happen. So I want to show you some principles in Scripture, some stories we're going to go over, to show you how important it is, the people that you're with, how important it is, the friends you have, how important it is, the relationships that you're raising. So 1 Corinthians, and this is what the sermon is based on, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be led astray, bad companionships ruin good habits." Bad companionships ruin good habits. And it's so true. It's so true. The people that you are with are the people you'll be like. And if you're with, I teach this in the leadership school, that if your leadership ability is only a 5, the most you could hope people that you're training to do is a 4. They're going to be at a maximum of 4. So you can't train people better than you're at yourself. So the people that you're with are the people you're going to be like. So we want to aspire in our friendships, in our relationships, and the people that, you know, we may want to mentor with. We want to aspire to people that are trying in their life to be successful. People that are trying in their life to live holy lives. People that are trying in their life to be the best servants that they could be of Yahweh. And when I say successful, I'm not talking about mammon. I'm talking about in our relationship with Yahweh and the things we're doing. So our communications are extremely important. We must prayerfully select our inner circle. You know, if you look in the Bible, Yeshua, he had the 70. Remember in Matthew 10, he sent out the 70 disciples 2 by 2. And then he had the 12 apostles. You know, we know that also from Matthew 10. And but also beside the 70 and the 12, he had the 3. He had Peter, James, and Jacob. He had the 3, the inner circle, you could say, Yeshua's inner circle. So there were times when he was healing the girl who was dead, he left everyone outside and only took those 3. The transfiguration, the same. So in your life, you know, you're going to have the 70. You're going to have the array of brethren. You're going to have your 12. You're going to have maybe your local congregation. But you're always going to have your 3. You're going to have those people that are special in your life, those people that you're the closest to, the people that you're the most friendly with. And we want to make sure that our inner circle are people that are going to be conducive to our spiritual life. You know, because if your inner circle is made up of people that gossip, that malign, that are negative, you know, as a man thinks, so he is. You're going to be the same way. We don't want that. We want to be around people that are focused. We want to be around people that are seeking Yahweh, that are living holy lives and the whatnot. Unfortunately, what I've seen in my travels throughout the last some odd 30 years, trying to serve Yahweh as best as I can, is that many third world brethren, you know, are very humble. If you go into the third world, you go to Africa and Asia and all South America, you meet many third world brethren that are humble, they're very serving, and they're very correctable. They're very correctable. Just recently when I was in Uganda, you know, there was a situation in one of the services where the people were doing something that really was a little bit against scripture. And I mentioned it right when I started. I mentioned about it. And immediately all the people changed. As soon as they saw in the scripture that they were doing something incorrectly, they changed. Unfortunately, in the West today, you know, we have people that are proud, people that are arrogant, people that are gossipers, and many people that are uncorrectable. Now, of course, that's not everybody. Most of the people in our congregations, the congregation of Yahweh, are not like that, you know. And praise Yahweh for it. These are people, you know, most of you that are hearing this, at least the ones that are part of our congregation, you're people that have left the world, you've left the worldly church systems, and you've become part of our congregations or part of the work of Yahweh from Jerusalem because you don't want to be that way, because you want to be different. And it's very interesting, many times, I've mentioned this before, that Hebrew was originally a pictograph language, and it was 22 pictures, you know, not letters, and every word in Hebrew tells a story. So the word for Babylon, the word picture, is actually when there's two heads of the family. You know, what does Babylon mean? It means confusion. So when is there confusion? When there's two heads of the family. And what we see many times in the West, I believe what's causing a lot of the problems coming from Babylon is the fact that many of the women are not in judicial order. And I'm going to talk somewhat today about judicial order because it's something that many in the West hate that doctrine. They absolutely hate that doctrine. And believe it or not, you know, as believers, I've been attacked for keeping the Sabbath day. I've been attacked for, you know, keeping Yahweh's holy days. Even in recent years when I became a sacred name believer and found out the name of Yahweh and Yeshua, I was unmercifully attacked even by Sabbath keepers for the holy name doctrine. But I think in all my years as a believer, there's never been a doctrine that I've been attacked more for than the doctrine of judicial order. And it's because, not anywhere else in the world but the West, it's because there's many people today that we're going to read about here that are affecting the brethren and are against judicial order. They're against any type of leadership. They're against any type of elderhood. They're teaching that there are no ordained elders, that, you know, an elder is just somebody who has been in the congregation for several years. There's no such thing as ordination. All these things that are deceiving people. And it's bringing a lot of chaos in the West. Praise Yahweh. The people that are in our congregations absolutely appreciate Yahweh's judicial order. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, let everything be done decently and with structure. And that's all it is. Judicial order is simply Yahweh's order to everything. Yahweh has an order to the calendar, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Yahweh has an order in the family unit. The man is over the woman, his Messiah is over the congregation. Yahweh has an order to absolutely everything we do. There's an order to how we eat. There's an order to how we dress. There's an order to everything. So if somebody is against judicial order, they're not against Don Esposito. They're against Yahweh because it's Yahweh's judicial order, not mine. There's absolutely nothing in Scripture that I'm teaching or nothing that I'm teaching that is not in Scripture, I should say. And you can only pity the ones that feel that way. So let's start in 2 Timothy 3 because I want to show you what we're dealing with here in the end time. We are dealing with a very serious situation. And 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, says, but know this, that in the last days, disastrous times will be upon us. Well, here we are. You know, are we into disastrous times? Absolutely. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of Elohim. Very interesting. Since the rise of the internet in the mid-1990s, you have had a spirit of maligning, gossip, and all these things that is way worse than it's ever been. Way worse than it's ever been. You know, I mean, before, gossip can go around, but now in one flick of a computer button, you could send evil and gossip and lies and all kinds of things all over the world. And it doesn't just happen in the congregation, it happens everywhere. You know, there's websites that are totally dedicated to just different rumors and all different things. And there's probably never been a time in the history of man where it's been so confusing because of that. But when you look at all these things, wow, how evil it is. Braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, ungrateful, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, people that are haters of good. And you would think, wow, well, yeah, in the world out there, I see that. But look at verse 5. having a form of righteousness, but denying the power of it, even turn away from these. These are not the world, brethren. This is talking about people that are in our, supposedly, that are believers. Thank Yahweh. Most of them are not in the congregation of Yahweh, but these are people, some of them, that have actually come and visited a congregation, or maybe one or two have come and visited the feast with us and exposed themselves. But right here they're saying they have a form of righteousness. You know, they all claim they keep the Torah, but denying the power of it. Even turn away from these, you know. They claim they keep the Torah, but they deny the doctrine of Yeshua. They claim they keep the Torah, but they deny the truth of Yeshua. So let's go to 2 Timothy 4 now, just one chapter over. And verse 2, look what it says. Preach the word and stand by it in season and out of season. Convict, warn, encourage with all patience and teaching. Exactly what I'm doing here. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Here we are. I mean, every crazy thing that is out there, that the Sabbath rotates. Can you imagine? People saying 1 month the Sabbath is on Tuesday and the next month the Sabbath is on Thursday. The most ludicrous, ridiculous things in the world that you would think nobody would ever even consider. And why are they considering it? Because they've given up on leadership. Because they've given up on shepherds and pastors to take them down the right road. And these self-willed people that are out on their own. Because believe me, I have never, ever, I've studied the church history for over 25 years. And there has never, ever, ever been a time in Yeshua's congregation over the last 2,000 years where the Sabbath day was ever questioned. That's one of the most solid, sound doctrines. There are thousands of calendars from the last 6,000 years in every civilization you can imagine. And every one is a 7-day calendar. Everyone has a 7-day week because Yahweh would make sure that that 7-day cycle was never broken because it's the sign between him and his children. And yet some brethren, or so-called brethren, have allowed themselves to give up that sign of Yahweh for what? To have the Sabbath on Tuesday this week and Thursday this week? Can't we at least count to 7? Is someone out there can't count to 7? 7 is 7 is 7. The 7th day is the Sabbath. Absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. But why is it that people fall for these things? Because they're going on their own self-willed. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts, they will add to themselves extra teachers according to their own desires. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. Very true. We're seeing it today. How important is your communications? I'm telling you, it can be life and death. I've seen people that were so solid on the truth, that seemed like they had so much potential, and they got involved with the wrong people. They got their ear pulled by these slick deceivers, and before you know it, some of them are falling from the truth. So this is extremely serious. I want to go now, let me go to Scripture, like I did in the other sermon. I want to show you some examples from Scripture to show you how important our relationships are in putting the right people around you. And, you know, in these kind of situations, I always love to go to King David, because King David is a wonderful example in so many ways of certain things. And this is one of them. King David was a man that had a lot of loyal people around him. And let's look here. 2 Samuel 15, we'll start here. And this is when Absalom was overtaking Jerusalem and overtaking David. And we're going to see some really, really interesting situations here about relationships and about loyalty. 2 Samuel 15. Starting in verse 13. 2 Samuel 15, starting in verse 13. And a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. Remember, Absalom is coming to Jerusalem, and David has to flee the city. And David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, rise up, we will flee. For we have no escape from the face of Absalom. Hurry to leave, that he not overtake us and bring evil down on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said to the king, according to all that my master the king desires, behold, your servants will do. Did David have loyal people around him? Absolutely. And that loyalty is not only what kept David as king, it saved his life in many situations, as this one, as we're going to see here. Verse 19. And the king said to Ittai the Gittite, why do you go, even you with us? Turn back and remain with the king, for you are an alien, and also you are an exile. Go to your place. You came in yesterday and today. Should I make you roam with us? To go while I go, where I go? Turn back and turn your brothers to go with you in kindness and truth. And Ittai replied to the king and said, as Yahweh lives and my master the king lives, surely in the place where my master the king is, there your servant shall be, whether for death or for life. And these are the kind of people you want around you. You know, especially your inner circle. You know, you don't want fair weather people that one day they're with you and the next day who knows where they are. You want people that you can rely on, people that will be with you. Like they say, everybody loves a party, you know, but where you know where your real friends are is during the hard times. They're the people that are going to be with you. So the importance of having loyal people around you, inevitable. And, you know, if you are a loyal person, you'll naturally, loyal people will attract to you. If you're not a loyal person, then, you know, loyal people won't. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 30. Drop down to verse 30. And David was going up in the ascent of the olives, going up and weeping. And his head was covered, and he was going barefooted. And all the people who were with him, each had covered his head and had gone up, going up and weeping. They were mourning as they were going. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. Ahithophel was the one that he was the counselor to David. And he was a very good counselor. He had a lot of worldly wisdom. And this man left David. He wasn't loyal. You know, when you're in a position like David, when you know many, many people, just like us, we know people all over the world. So praise Yahweh, overall, the vast majority of people we know are going to be good people, but you'll always have that one or two that aren't, you know, possibly going to turn on you or whatever. And David said, oh Yahweh, I pray you make the counsel of Ahithophel foolish. And it happened as David had come to the top, there where he bowed to Elohim, and behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him, his tunic worn in earth on his head. And it's really interesting that this is, I want you to keep this in mind as we read these stories, because the one thing that a lot of people miss the fact is that, you know, on an earthly sense, look at this. Absalom's coming, he's a young man, he's debonair, you know, good looking. Here's David getting older, he's fleeing. And what do you think the people are thinking? Well, David's getting maybe paid back for the evil that he did, you know, maybe to Uriah the Hittite or whatever else. And they're thinking, oh, Yahweh has left David. Yet David prays here, and he prays to make the counsel of Ahithophel foolish. Did Yahweh had lead David at this part? No way. Yahweh was with him 100%. So again, the side you choose in any given situation, you better make sure you're choosing the side that Yahweh's on. Because it says Yahweh doesn't see things as men sees things. And many times, brethren, people will be hoodwinked, you know, by the wrong people into choosing the wrong side. As what happened here with King David. But as we'll see over here with Ahithophel, if you choose the wrong side, it could be life and death. So here comes now Hushai the Archite, verse 33. And David said to him, if you pass on with me, then you shall be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and shall say to Absalom, I also will be your servant, O king. I was servant of your father before now, and now I am also your servant. Then you can break down the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do you not have there with you Zadok and Abiathar the priest? And it shall be, you shall declare everything that you hear from the house of the king. You shall report to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest. Behold, there are with them their two sons, Ahimaaz to Zadok and Jonathan to Abiathar. And you shall send them to me by their hand anything that you hear. And David's friend Hushai came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So here it is. Wow, what a great man that David had as a friend. That he had this man that was able to risk his life. Because face it, if Absalom found out that Hushai was lying, what is he going to do? He's going to kill him. But yet he had a friend like this who was loyal, and he was going to go there and break down the counsel of Ahithophel. Let's continue the story here, down to chapter 16 now, 2 Samuel 16 and verse 15. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, had come into Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it happened when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, had come to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, let the king live, let the king live. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this your kindness with your friend? Why have you not gone with your friend? Talking about King David. And Hushai said to Absalom, no, for he whom Yahweh and this people have chosen, even all the men of Israel, his I shall be, and I shall remain with him. Now again, if you are a really loyal person, You know, instead of a double-minded person, you would never fall for this. Because you would know that this man was loyal and he couldn't go against David. But the fact that Absalom, David's own son, you know, and those of your own household will be your enemies, that his own son turned on him, and the fact that Absalom was not loyal, he would think, yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the way most people are, right? Most people aren't loyal. And this guy's an opportunist and he's going to come here. So again, when we're looking at this, this is even more than just relationships. It's even more than the people you're around. It's your character. It's who you are, you know? And either you're loyal or you're not. Either you're honest or you're not. Either your word, like we said, the words that come out of your mouth can either be taken as your bond or it can't. When you give your word to something, to pay a bill, when you give your word to something, to be somewhere, if you don't keep your word, then what are you? Absolutely nothing. So this is here. It even shows you, like I said, why was Absalom able to be deceived? Because Absalom was a deceiver. He was absolutely a deceiver. So then, and verse 19, and a second time, whom should I serve? Should I not serve before the face of his son? As I serve before the face of your father, so I shall before your face. And Absalom said to Ahithophel, give your counsel, what shall we do? And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, those he left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that you have become odious with your father, and the hands of all who are with you will be strong. And they spread out a tent for Absalom on the roof. And Absalom went into his father's concubines before the eyes of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as one who had inquired at the word of the Elohim. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both to David and to Absalom. Wow. So here it is. This guy had such a worldly wisdom. It was like they were hearing the word of Elohim himself. Can you imagine? And yet, we're going to see his counsel meant absolutely nothing because he chose the wrong side. Instead of choosing the servant that Yahweh was with, they absolutely went against him. So let's go to 2 Samuel 17 now. I'll read 1 through 11 and then drop down to 14. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, please let me choose 12,000 men and I shall rise up and pursue David tonight. And I shall come on him and he shall be weary and feeble-handed. And I will make him tremble and the people with him shall flee. And I will strike the king by himself. And I shall bring all the people back to you when all return, except the man whom you are seeking, David. All the people shall be in peace. And the thing was pleasing in Absalom's eyes and in the eyes of all the elders of Israel. And Absalom said, please call for Hushai the Archite also, and we shall hear what is in his mouth also he. And Hushai came into Absalom. And Absalom spoke to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken according to this word. Shall we do this word? If not, you speak. And remember now, Hushai is trying to break down his counsel because he knew that it was true. If they had followed David that night, that would have been the end of David. But because he was loyal to David, he was trying to break the counsel of Ahithophel. And Hushai said to Absalom, the counsel of Ahithophel counseled is not good at this time. And Hushai said, you have known your father and his men, that they are mighty men. And they are bitter of soul like a bear bereaved of cubs in the field. As your father is a man of war and shall not stay the night with the people. Behold, now he is hidden in one of the pits or in one of the places. And it shall be at the falling among them at the beginning that whoever hears shall even say, there has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. And also he, the son of valor, whose heart is as the heart of the lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man and those with him sons of valor. So I counsel this, gathering all, let all Israel be gathered to you from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude. And you in person shall go into battle. So this is, he gives a whole different counsel now to break down the counsel in verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. And Yahweh had ordained to break down the good counsel of Ahithophel for the sake of bringing the evil of Yahweh to Absalom. And you know, there's a real big lesson here that if... This is why I say how important your relationships are. Because if you are choosing in a bad relationship and somebody is hoodwinking you, you could literally be choosing against Yahweh. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with myself. Where people will hear a rumor or they'll do something, you know, or whatever. And they'll actually be fighting against Yahweh, not against man. And in the end, they'll get destroyed. And let's look what happened here. So what happens next? And Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not done. And he saddled the ass and rose up and went to his house and to his city. And he gave command to his household. Then he hung himself and died. And he was buried in the burying place of his father. Wow. So this guy, after he saw that his counsel was not taken, it was his death. And the lesson that we learn here is what? That David was the king set up by who? By Yahweh. It was Yahweh's leadership. Yahweh had put that person in the position, and Yahweh had set them there. And that the people, though, that were listening to Absalom, or listening to something against David, that he did this or he did that, what happened? They were being deceived when Yahweh was still with David, because David set it up. And that's why I say, you know, Yahweh sets up leadership not to rule over people, to serve people. That's the reason we're going to talk about it a little later in Ephesians, why we have elders and pastors and teachers in the congregation. They're there for the service of Yahweh's people. But when people come into the congregation that are against any type of leadership, that are self-willed, like we read in Timothy, they are only going to bring you down a wrong path. You know, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end result is death. And that's why I say, be very, very careful of your relationships. Bad companionships ruin good habits. The alliances we make show the character that we have or the lack of it. The alliances that you make, and that's why I say, people have attacked me because I say, I will only work with people that have honesty, integrity, and loyalty. That's it. That's the way I am. It's the way I've been my whole life. And I will not work with people who do not have integrity and honesty. It's that simple. You know? And the alliances that you make, the people that you're around are the people you're going to be like. And they're either going to show the character you have or the lack of the character you have. Let's go to another example here in 1 Kings. Because another thing that I've seen with a lot of these people who come in to the congregation, you know, they come from nowhere, they cause trouble, and then they leave, and then they'll go somewhere else and they cause trouble. They're very double-minded. They're very double-minded. One day they'll believe this, one day they'll believe that. We've had, my whole time in Israel, we've met people like that. You meet people, they seem like really nice people. Today they're believing this. Tomorrow, some of them have even denied Yeshua and they've joined Judaism. Who others here, they become anti-Semitic. One day people love the land of Israel, the next day they're hating the land of Israel. You see a lot of double-mindedness with people that are in this situation. And I think one of the reasons why sometimes I'm attacked by these people is I'm not double-minded. Now, you could say I'm right or wrong with our beliefs, but my beliefs are my beliefs. You know, I'm not changing the beliefs every other day. I'm not switching to this or switching to that. And people sometimes absolutely hate that. But let's look at 1 Kings 13, because this is a very, very sobering story of somebody, you know, an actual prophet, who was double-minded. And it says, behold, a man of Elohim had come from Judah to Bethel by the word of Yahweh. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, altar, altar. So says Yahweh, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, his name Josiah, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who are burning incense on you, and they shall burn the bones of man on you. Well, can you imagine? This was 300 years before this happened. So this is a real prophet of Yahweh, no doubt. He's prophesying, he even gave his name about Josiah, exactly what he would do. And of course, I'm going to skip a little bit here, because, Jeroboam doesn't listen to him, and then he puts his hand out, and he withers, and da-da-da-da-da. So I want to drop down here, though, because I want to show. Verse 7, and the king spoke to the man of Elohim, this prophet who just prophesied this, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a gift. And the man of Elohim said to the king, if you would give me the half of your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor would I drink water in this place. For so he commanded me by the word of Yahweh, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor turn back in the way that you have come. So this prophet had a very, very clear, distinctive word from Yahweh. He was to go, he gave the prophecy was 100% true, and then Yahweh told him he was not to drink water, eat bread, or go the same way that he came. Very, very clear. In Malachi 3:6, does Yahweh change? Absolutely not. Now let's look what happened here. And he went on another way and did not turn back in the way which he came into Bethel. So right now he's going the right path, but then look what happened. And a certain aged prophet was living in Bethel. And his son came and told him all the deeds that the man of Elohim had done that day in Bethel. The words that he had spoken to the king, yea, they told him to their father. And their father said to him, where is this man? What way did he go? And his son saw the way that the man of Elohim from Judah had gone. And he said to his son, saddle the ass for me. And they saddled the ass and he rode on it. And he went after the man of Elohim and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said to him, are you the man of Elohim who has come from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I am not able to go back with you and go in with you, nor may I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a word came to me by the word of Yahweh, you shall not eat bread nor drink water here. You shall not turn back to go in the way which you came. And he said to him, this is the prophet who went to meet him, I am also a prophet like yourself. And a cherub spoke to me by the word of Yahweh, saying, bring him back with you into the house, and he shall eat bread and water. And he lied to him. He was lying to him. Now, right off the bat, if you were a real man of Yahweh, and Yahweh told you something for sure, and you know Yahweh doesn't change, you know Yeshua Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why on earth would you believe this man? And yet he did. Bad communications ruin good habits. Bad companionships ruin good habits. And he turned back with him and ate bread in his house, and he drank. And it happened as they were sitting at the table, a word of Yahweh came to the prophet who brought him back. And he cried to the man of Elohim who came from Judah, saying, so says Yahweh, because you have resisted the mouth of Yahweh, and have not kept the command that Yahweh your Elohim charged you, and turned back and ate bread and drank water in the place in which he said to you, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, your carcass shall not come to the burying place of your fathers. And after he ate bread and he drank, it happened that he saddled the ass for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And he left, and a lion found him in the way and killed him, and his carcass was thrown down the way, and the ass was standing near it, and the lion was standing near the carcass. So, and believe me, I've had this happen many times. Man, come to Israel. You know, sometimes people come to Israel, and they think, oh, you won't believe what happened. I had a divine appointment. I met this person. It's like, no. Go to Jerusalem, you'll meet somebody every day of the week. You'll meet 10 people a day. Just go to Jerusalem and go to the old city and walk around for 8 hours. You will meet 10 people a day that will tell you about the dream they had, that will tell you about the prophecy they had, that will tell you about what the Lord told them to do. It happens every single day over there. And we've had it happen to us. But one thing I know, when Yahweh shows me something from his word, Yahweh doesn't change, and neither does Don. When it's coming from Yahweh, I'm not going to change. And that gets people so angry that there's actually been, and praise Yahweh, it's not many, but there's been a few people who have want to get a vendetta against you. They want to destroy you because you will not change. Because you stick to the truth. And you know something? Like I said, there's no other congregation out there that's preaching judicial order. There's very, very few congregations, if any, that I know of that's really, really preaching sound doctrine. And in the end time, what is the thing that are deceiving people? It's a lack of doctrine. There is false doctrine everywhere because people are not going in the scripture and putting line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And like I said, who on earth in their right mind, what person that would even know a little bit of scripture can remotely think the Sabbath is on Tuesday this week and Wednesday next week? It is totally, absolutely absurd. And there's 50 different reasons. The least being that it's never been done before, you know, by anybody or by the Jews who have kept the seventh-day Sabbath, you know, since the days of Moses. But these are the things that people will fall for. People saying that Yeshua never pre-existed. There's a whole movement now, whole movement, that taking away Yeshua's deed, whole movement of oneness, saying Yeshua and Yahweh the Father are the same being. Because these people are getting hoodwinked by false, slick, deceiving people that are, like we said, itching their ear, looking for things. Let's go to another example here, because I think we're starting to see here, the people you are with are the people you will be like. In this case with this prophet, this guy was probably a pretty good guy. You know, he was pretty straight. He got involved with the wrong person, and what happened? It cost him his life. It absolutely cost him his life. And believe me, it's not only a good idea, you know, that you guard your inner circle. It could be life and death. It can be life and death to allow people into your life. You know, and I always say this, destructive people with destructive habits will destroy everybody in their path. And there's nothing in scripture even remotely that says you have to allow destructive people in your life to destroy you. The opposite, as we're going to read some Proverbs here. The Bible tells us stay away from destructive people. Don't fight them, don't get in any, just stay away from them. Let them go their own path, and you go your path and you serve Yahweh. Because there's not enough hours in the day to fight these people that are not producing fruit. So let's go to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. Verse 2 and 3. Exodus 16. And all the congregation of the sons of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, and are sitting by the flesh pots and are eating bread to satisfaction. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill all this assembly with hunger." Drop down to verse 7. "And in the morning you shall see the glory of Yahweh in his hearing. Your murmurings against Yahweh, and we, what are we that you murmur against us?" And Moses said, "When Yahweh gives you flesh to eat in the evening, and bread in the morning to satisfaction, when Yahweh hears your murmurings, which you are murmuring against him, you will see. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Yahweh." Wow, that's pretty heavy. Do you realize when you go against the doctrine of Yahweh? See, Don didn't make up the doctrine that divorce and remarriage is adultery. Don didn't make that up. That's in your Bible. That's in Mark 10, 1 through 12, that if you're a believer in Yeshua and you're in the congregation and you leave your spouse and marry another, you are committing adultery. Don didn't make the doctrine up of judicial order. It's Yahweh's doctrine. Don didn't make the doctrine up that women should not take the seat of leadership. You know, 1 Timothy 2, that a woman should not take the position over men. Don didn't make these doctrines up, but you know what? Don believes in these doctrines because they're Yahweh's doctrines. And when people fight Don over Yahweh's doctrines, you know what the Bible calls that? They call it blasphemy. You are blaspheming Yahweh because they're not my doctrines. They're not my doctrines whatsoever. But I'll tell you something, to my last breath, I will fight to keep Yahweh's congregation clean. And I will teach sound doctrine because it's my responsibility to Yahweh in the congregations. And those who are of the truth that want to hear those sound doctrines, we invite you and we welcome you. And those who don't, go your own way. We're a ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. We're not here to fight other ministries. You don't hear me constantly just over here browbeating this one or that one. It's not my motive. My motive is to teach the truth. Teach the truth that the soul is not immortal, that the dead are in the grave sleeping, they're not in heaven, that there is not an eternal hellfire, but in the day of judgment, people will burn up and then cease to exist. All these truths of Yahweh, including that there is not divorce and remarriage in the new covenant. You know, that if you divorce and remarry your spouse, you're committing adultery. The same way as women should not take the seat of the leadership. Or whatever other doctrine there is. That Yeshua is an eternal being that was with the Father from the beginning. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Showing duality, two of them there. You know, that Yeshua is Elohim. These are the doctrines that are there. That there's a 1,000-year millennial reign of Yeshua on this earth. That his feet come back and stand on the Mount of Olives. These are all basic doctrines of the congregation. Baptism. I had somebody attack me one time. Someone who was supposed to be a pastor in a congregation. That I'm teaching heresy because I'm teaching baptism. Can you imagine that? It's about 100 times in the New Testament. You know? What do we do? You know, what do we do now? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. We just talked about this at Passover. You have to repent first and then be baptized in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 in verse 12. Then you have to have the laying on of hands for an elder for the imparting of that spirit. These are the doctrines of Yahweh. And like I said, you're not fighting Don when you come against these doctrines. You are blaspheming Yahweh. You're actually blaspheming him. Because when you blaspheme his word, when you mock his doctrine, you're not fighting a man like it says here. They weren't coming against Moses and against Aaron. They're coming against Yahweh himself, the person who set the doctrine out in Scripture. Very, very scary. When we murmur, we do so against Yahweh, who placed his leaders in the body of Messiah. Talks about 1 Corinthians 10, you know, that we are to learn from the examples in the wilderness and be not murmurers like them, that thousands in one day were taken away. But there are many, many in the West today, murmurers that are there today. And it's scary. Let's go to number 16. Numbers 16. Let's see another. Number 16. We'll start in verse 1. "And Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, took also Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben. And they rose before Moses with certain of the sons of Israel, 250 rulers of the congregation, elect men of the assembly, men of name. And they were assembled against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, 'You take too much for yourself, for all the congregation, all of them are holy, and Yahweh is among them. Why then do you lift yourself above the assembly of Yahweh?' And Moses heard and fell on his face. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, in the morning Yahweh will know who are his and who is holy, and shall cause him to come near to him. Even him who he may choose, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take fire pans for yourself, Korah and all the company, and put fire in them and put incense on them before Yahweh tomorrow, and it shall be the man whom Yahweh chooses, he shall be the holy one. You take too much, sons of Levi. And Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it too little a thing that you, to you, that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahweh, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? Yea, he has brought you near, and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you. And will you seek the priesthood also? Therefore you and your company have gathered against Yahweh. What is Aaron that you murmur against him? Like we said, when you're murmuring, you're not murmuring against man, you're murmuring against Yahweh. And Moses sent to call for Dathan and for Abiram, the sons of Eliab. And they said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? But must you also seize dominion over us? Wow. Can you imagine how perverted they were? They're now calling Egypt, where they came out of, the land of milk and honey, and calling Yahweh's holy land, you know, the bad place. Unbelievable. And like I said, we've seen people like this before. We've seen people that have come to Israel, and they love the land of Israel, and it's the greatest thing in the world. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, oh, Israel is in heaven, or Jerusalem is in heaven, and Israel's a wicked place, and all this change like that. And all of a sudden, they're calling Babylon the good place now. Well, you know, hey, America's the good place. I'm going to go down with the lady with the torch. James 1:8, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then one day they're loving the land of Israel, and one day they're hating it. These are people that are very, very unstable. Yea, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance with fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very angry and said to Yahweh, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, nor I have done evil to one of them. And Moses said to Korah, you and all your company, you be there before Yahweh, you and they and Aaron tomorrow. And each will take his fire pan, and you shall put incense on them, and shall offer before Yahweh each his fire pan, 250 fire pans, even you and Aaron, each his fire pan. And they each took his fire pan, they put fire on them and lay incense on them. And they stood at the door of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. And Korah assembled all the congregation against them to the door of the tent of meeting. And the glory of Yahweh was seen by all the congregation. Now, can you imagine this? After seeing all the miracles in Egypt, after seeing the parting of the Red Sea, after all of this, Korah and Dathan and Abiram and Og were still able to get all these people against Moses and Aaron. Could you imagine? Don't think that when you have people out there that are of a different spirit and not the spirit of Yahweh, that if they're constantly telling you negative things, constantly telling you rumors, constantly telling you gossip, don't think it's not going to affect you. Believe it, it will affect you. And then look what Yahweh says. Look what Yahweh says. What? How do we handle this? How do we handle these people that are against Yahweh? How do we handle these people that are putting these words of gossip in the mouth of the people? And Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, separate yourself from the midst of this company, and I will consume them in a moment. Separate yourself from the midst of this company. Yahweh says, I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. All we have to do is separate from it. We don't need to get in all these different things. Their ends will be according to their works. And Yahweh clearly says, all we have to do is separate from it. We want to separate from it. Verse 32 and 33. And the earth opened their mouth and swallowed them and their houses and all the men who were for Korah and their possessions. And they went down, they and all they had alive, to Sheol, and the earth covered them over, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. Wow. Are communications important? Are the people that we're with important? Will the people we're with affect our thinking? Absolutely 100%. Absolutely 100%. And that's why you have to guard your spirit. You have to guard your spirit. And it's the same way when you look at media. How do you think that media gets people to buy Coca-Cola? You know, who would want to buy Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola is horrible. It's nothing but 98% sugar. So why would anybody buy Coca-Cola? Why is it a $10 billion business? Because of advertising. Because they tell you over and over and over, buy Coca-Cola, buy Coca-Cola, buy Coca-Cola. Believe me when I say that Satan knows how to manipulate you. Satan is working in Hollywood. Satan is working with advertisers. And Satan is even working with religious organizations today and people. He knows exactly how to manipulate people. And once he has someone on his payroll, how do you know somebody that's on the payroll of Satan? If they're gossiping, if they're maligning, if they're criticizing, if they're negative, if they're bringing false gossip. These are people that are literally working for Satan. They're on his payroll. And these are people, like Yahweh says, that we want to refrain from. We want to totally separate it. Because we want to be on the side of encouragement. We want to be on the side of reconciliation. We want to be on the side of being positive. Whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report. And the ones that want to gossip and malign and tear down, we want to totally be separated from them. Because we see the end of it. The end of it is death. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end result is death. Let's go to 2 Peter 2. Because this is nothing new to the New Testament also. We see these Old Testament examples, how communications really, really mean a lot. They really mean a lot. But let's go now to 2 Peter, 2 Peter 2, because Peter was dealing with the same thing in the early congregation. 2 Peter 2, I'll start in verse 1. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But false prophets were also among the people, we just read about them, as also false teachers will be among you. They will be. This is prophecy for the future, which we're living. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies and denying the master who has brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. It is a heresy to say that Yeshua, the one who created everything, the King of Kings, the Master of Masters, to say he never existed, to deny his very existence is heresy. And it's something that will not come into our congregation. It's something that should not be allowed to come into your congregation. And many will follow their destructive ways, by whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. So what do? They can't attack your doctrine because it comes from Yahweh. They can't attack your character because your character isn't in truth. So what they do is they will speak evil about the truth. They will actually take the truth of Yahweh and speak evil about it, and they will distort and they will pervert anything that they can because their ways are filled with destruction. Like I said, many will follow their destructive ways by whom the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And by covetousness with well-turned words, they will use you for gain, for whom judgment from the very beginning has not ceased, and their destruction is always active. You know, like I said, Satan doesn't sleep. Satan doesn't sleep, but praise Yahweh that Yahweh doesn't sleep either. For if Yahweh did not spare sinning cherubs, but delivered them to chains of darkness, thrust down into Tartarus, having been kept for judgment, and he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah the eighth, the herald of righteousness, bringing a flood on the world of wicked ones, and covering the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah with ashes, he condemned them with an overflow, setting an example of men intending to live unholy lives, and also delivered righteous Lot, who was tormented with the filthy conduct of the lawless. For that righteous one living among them day after day and seeing and hearing his righteous soul was tormented with their lawless deeds. But Yahweh knows to deliver the righteous out of temptation and to keep the unjust to be punished at the judgment day. See, Yahweh will not be mocked. Sometimes these people, they think they're getting away with something and they think that their lies and their distortion is going around. But, you know, in the end, they'll be judged according to their works. And especially will he punish those... Let's see now. Who follow after the filthy lust of the flesh and have no respect for authority. Self-willed and arrogant they are, and they do not tremble when they blaspheme. Wow. No respect for authority whatsoever. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect their elders in the congregations. They don't respect their bosses at work. They don't respect their spouses. These people respect nobody. They respect absolutely nobody. And a lot of these people that I've seen that are in this position... They will browbeat their wives, they'll browbeat their children, yet they'll never follow a man. Wow. How deceptive. How deceptive they are. And in most cases, like I said, ask their spiritual resume. Most cases, these people, over the last 20 years, have been kicked out of church after church after church for exactly having this evil kind of attitude. And now, what are they doing? They're going to try to show up on your doorstep, you know, doing the same thing. Where cherubs, being greater in strength and power, do not bring against them the condemnation of blasphemy. But these men, like the dumb beasts, which by nature are for slaughter and destruction, speak evil of the things which they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. You absolutely see not even an ounce of humility. You see pride and arrogance and just speaking against everybody and everything. Just like it's saying here. Being about to receive the wages of unrighteousness, as they consider it a delightful thing to revel in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes among you. Some of these are even in your congregations. And sport themselves with their own pleasures, feasting along with you in idleness. Some of these people have addictions. You know, some of these people are into all different addictions and whatnot. Some of them watching horrible R-rated movies with cursing and adultery. And yet they'll try to twist and turn and attack somebody, or attack you maybe, for Yahweh's truth. For a doctrine that you believe in that's from Yahweh. While their lives are full of wickedness that they won't even look at. Like it says, feasting along with you in idleness. We've had people that literally, praise Yahweh, it's only been a few, but we've had a few people that are not part of the congregation of Yahweh. They've written to us and asked to come to our feast. And we cordially, you know, graciously allowed them to come. They come there and say, we never saw a group like this where everyone loves each other and it's so nice and it's this and that. And then by the time the feast was over, man, all they had is bad words to say about everything. Because they wanted to change me on a doctrine, or they wanted me to do something different. And because I wouldn't do it, then they start maligning you and gossiping and you're so evil and you're so this and that. Well, what happened? What happened 3 days ago when you said we're the nicest, most loving congregation you've ever seen? So you see that they feast with you in their idleness. But it's because, believe me, people like this, when they come there, when they're showing up in your congregation, there's an agenda there. There's an agenda. Whether they're a sovereign citizen, you find out later, they're one of these people that want you to get rid of your social security card, or whatever else they're pushing, there's an agenda when they come to your door. And because you don't take that agenda, that's when they start. Having eyes full of adultery and never ceasing from sin, seducing unsettled souls. And brethren, that's the reason why I even give a message like this today. Because the sad part about it is, Satan looks for the weakest link. And unfortunately, there are times that one or two people will be able to be hoodwinked by these people. That they'll be able to hoodwink somebody and take them away from Yahweh's truth, or take them away from what they believed before. And seducing unsettled souls, having a heart being filled with covetousness, they are cursed children who have forsaken the straight path and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Remember Balaam? I'm going to do a whole message on Balaam. I don't have the time right now. But what did Balaam do? What was Balaam? Why would they be comparing them to Balaam? Because the same as that prophet we read about, you know, the prophet that Yahweh said, don't do this, and then later he did it. What happened with Balaam? When Balak came to Balaam and said, go to Israel, go and curse Israel for me, what happened? Balaam asked Yahweh, and Yahweh said, no, I will not curse them. Then when Balak sent the messengers, why did Balaam even open the door to them? He already had the word of Yahweh. And yet he let them into his house overnight, and he said, I'll pray to Yahweh again. The double-mindedness, like I said, James 1:8. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that was Balaam. Balaam lost his life over that because he was double-minded to the way of Yahweh. And that's the way these people are. Like I said, it grieves you. You meet people that you think are on the right path. And all of a sudden, a year or two down the line, they've changed their beliefs so much. Like I said, many of them even denying Yeshua. Turning to Judaism, turning back to Christianity, turning back to this. And it's sad. But who has rebuked for his own transgression the dumb ass speaking in a man's voice, held back the folly of the prophet? These are springs without water, clouds being driven by a storm, for whom the blackness of darkness has been kept forever. And you know something? What you see is, like it says, springs without water. Where is the fruit? Where is the fruit? They want to tear you down. They want to cut you down. They want to say everything you're doing. Yet to them, there's absolutely no fruit. There's no fruit. You know, there's nothing. There's no fruit. You know, there's nobody that's being converted. There's no baptisms. There's no fruit. There's no bearing of fruit. For while they speak astonishing words of vanity, they seduce with obscene lusts of the flesh them who have almost abandoned these that walk in error, while promising them freedom through themselves being slaves of corruption. For man is overcome by whatever it is that enslaves him. And yet, they'll look at elders and they'll say, they're trying to get you to follow a man. And in reality, they're trying to get you to follow them. Because that's what you see. You see, they want to start this little group in their house. And they want to have five people under them. So they'll talk about following men and da-da-da and against elders, and yet they're doing the very same thing. For if when they have escaped the pollutions of the world by the knowledge of our Master and Redeemer, Yeshua the Messiah, they become again entangled in the very things and are overcome by them, their later end is worse than from the beginning. For it was better for them to not have known the way of righteousness, and having recognized it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But the word of the true proverb has happened to them. The dog has returned to its vomit, also the sow that was washed to wallowing in the mud. Very, very scary, because sometimes, like it says, these people can twist and turn, and to that weak-willed person, that new babe that's just coming into the truth, they can actually turn people away from the truth. And you know what the Bible says? It's better for a millstone to be around your neck than to deceive one of these little ones. Very, very, very scary. But I tell you, check the spiritual resume of the murmurer. Most looking for his own falling can't be under any type of judicial order. How will they ever serve in the kingdom? How will they ever serve in the kingdom? If somebody says, I'll never follow a man. Moses was a man. Noah was a man. Abraham was a man. And you know what? Yeshua was a man. Yeshua. Can you imagine this person that says, I'll never follow a man? That a man named Yeshua, that was flesh and blood like us, saying he's the son of Elohim? Saying that whoever doesn't worship him will not get eternal life? Be honest with yourself. You really think that these murmurers today that are saying, I'll never follow man, would have worshipped Yeshua? No way. No way. They won't worship anybody but themselves. They're not worshipping Yahweh. Because if they can't worship his son, then they can't worship the Father. And if they don't follow the men who Yeshua put here as his representatives, then they don't follow Yeshua. It is blasphemy to attack Yahweh's doctrines. It's actually blasphemy. And most of these people, they're lonely and they're bitter. The ones that I've met, you know, they'll come in, they'll tell you how lonely they are. Oh, how lonely they are. They have no fellowship and this and that. And then you wonder why. Man that has many friends must show himself friendly. Because they come in and their minds are just filled with attacking. Their minds are just filled with negativeness, murmuring, and blasphemy. And sorry to say, you're not gonna find a lot of avenues for that in the congregation of Yahweh. No way. Anybody that's been with us, if you come to our congregation or you come to the feast, you will find that, praise Yahweh, our brethren are the most loving, wonderful, heartfelt, humble people I've ever met in my life. Our elders, you know. I consider it a blessing to serve with the men that Yahweh has put with me to serve. They're honest, humble men that are correctable. And we work together in unity, you know. And we have a very, very, very good working network with that. But these people, Proverbs 18:1 says, he that separates himself seeks his own desire. He that separates himself seeks his own desire. And these are people, the ones who will attack you for this, the ones who are trying to get you away from leadership. And what do? They belong to nothing. They separate themselves. They may get information from 10 different ministries. That's confusion. You know, you look at these 10 ministries, they're all completely different. The doctrine is all different. And all it is confusing. So they're committed to absolutely nothing. How can we do the work of Yahweh if we're not committed to anything? And I say, Yahweh's congregation, it's not an organization. It's a spiritual organism. I said that for the last 15 years. But Yahweh does use organization for us to work together to do a greater work for Him. And by being organized over the last 10 years, we've been able to do, praise Yahweh, by His blessing, He's been able to bless us to baptize more than 1,000 people, to bring the gospel all over the world, to start congregations all over the world, to build buildings for these people, to do all kinds of things, because we're working in an organized fashion. But I still believe that Yahweh's congregation is a spiritual organism. It's not the organization, but the organization is there to further the work of Yahweh. But with these people that separate themselves from any kind of organized fashion, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. There's absolutely no fruit there. And in the end, who will care for the widow? Who will care for the orphan? Who's going to take the money to the poor in Africa? Who will do it? See, according to them, nobody does it. But they want to just tell you anyone who does, oh, they're wrong. They're wrong. They're following men. They're blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, brethren, it's something that we need to watch our communications. We need to watch the people that we're with, and we need to know who are the people that we want to bring into our inner circle. Ephesians 4, because you know what? I didn't set myself here. I never desired to be an elder. I never thought about it. I was a believer for many, many years. I used to serve in any way I can. I had a landscaping business. I helped widows and I helped everybody. And I never, never, never even desired to be an elder in the congregation. But Yahweh had something different. Yahweh desired it. So if it was Yahweh's will, I am thrilled and I am thankful and I am honored that Yahweh considered me to lay hands on for an elder. But I didn't put myself here. I'm not self-ordained. Not at all. Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, look what it says. Talking about Yeshua. And indeed he, Yeshua, has assigned some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors or shepherds, and some teachers. Yeshua has assigned me here. I didn't assign myself. And all I'm trying to do is to be faithful with his doctrine that he gave us. I'm trying to be faithful to help the poor and the widow. I'm trying to be faithful to do the job that he's commissioned me to. That's it. I don't go seeking. We don't proselytize for membership. We don't proselytize for leadership. We don't proselytize for anything. We don't sell anything. You know, we don't market anything. Everything we give is for free. All we do is we set an environment for like-minded believers that believe the same way to be able to come and worship. Because it says in John 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. And I believe in that 100%. And that's why I don't go to the streets looking for people to come into the congregation. Yahweh brings the people. And in the cases, like I said, praise Yahweh, it's only been a few of these dissidents we've dealt with over the years. But in every case, they came to me. I didn't go searching for them. They asked me, can I come to the feast? They asked me, can I come to your school, whatever it is. And then they came, and because they couldn't change me, they wanted to start saying evil, wicked things, or being deceptive, or lying about you, whatever it is. But it's Yeshua put the people. And why did he put me here? Why did he put the other elders and pastors around the world? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Like I said, how have we been able to go out? How have I been able to baptize more than 1,000 people in 10 years? How have I been able to help these people? Well, of course, through the blessing of Yahweh, but by working together. By working together with these other elders for the building up of the body of Messiah. Until we all may come to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. Are we there? Of course not. So is there still a need for elders and leaders and pastors? Absolutely. We've never been further from this than now. So that we may no longer be children, being blown and carried about by every wind of false doctrine of men, who through their craftiness and are very skillful in deceiving the people. Through the internet now, you have more deception than we've ever had in the history of the New Testament congregation. So if there was ever a time for true shepherds and pastors, not guys that are out there selling his word just looking for money, but people that are truly have a heart that love Yahweh's children, it's now. It's now, like I said, I publicly say it again, I thank Yahweh for the men that he's put with me, that are working with me, that are good all over the world, you know, in the Philippines, in Africa, in America, all over. We have around 180 elders in our network. Praise the Father for those men that are real, real teachers and real pastors. John 15. So when they reject you as an elder, they reject me. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Yeshua because I'm not here on my own. I had no desire to be here. But the fact that Yeshua picked me, I will do the best that I can in the job he's given me so that I can be faithful upon his return. John 15 and verse 20. Look what it says. Remember the word which I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they also will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. So I'm not saying anything different than Yeshua said. I'm giving you the same doctrine he laid down 2,000 years ago. And if you believe that women should be pastors, if you believe that a person should be able to go out and divorce 10 times, if you don't believe in any kind of leadership, then you got a problem with Yeshua. Like he said, if they followed him, they'll follow us. If they rejected him, they'll reject us. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name. Man, just for the name of Yeshua, how people criticize you and mock you. For using the name Yahweh, the true names of our Savior, Yeshua. Because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and had not spoken to them, they would have had no sin. But now they do not have a sacrifice upon their sin. Pretty heavy stuff.
The one hating me also hates my Father. If I did not do the works among them, which no one did, they had no sin. But now they both have seen and also have hated me and my Father. But that may be fulfilled, the word that has been written in their Torah. They hated me without a reason. They hated me without a reason. Like I said, for me, I graciously allowed a few of these people to come to a feast or, you know, come to our congregation. You know, you open up a hand of fellowship and then they want to attack you because you're not running something the way they would run it, or you're doing this wrong, or you didn't, you know, all this kind of silliness. But like it says here, they hated me without a reason. Without a reason. Praise the Father. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. It says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of Elohim to you, considering the completeness of their work, imitate their faith. Verse 17, listen to your spiritual leaders and submit to them, for they watch for your souls, giving an account that they may do this with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable to you. So an elder, they're not here to browbeat you. They're not here to control you. They're not here to run your life. We're here as leaders to serve. We're here to keep order and structure in the congregation. We're here to help the brethren for spiritual growth, to give what I'm doing here, preach the word in season and out of season, to give timely messages, and to help wherever we can. And the brethren are supposed to fully be happy with that. They should be. I want to show one last example here of a bad relationship. And it's in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Because I'm telling you, brethren, I really pray. I know in the West, because our culture is not one that's really built on honesty and integrity. You know, when you look at the government of the United States of America, for years, you know, they'll call Russia an enemy, and yet they'll negotiate with them. They'll look at Iran as an enemy, and then they'll say we need to sit down with them. It's double-mindedness. It's absolutely double-mindedness. And that's the whole culture there. So the people there overall have not been geared toward black and white and wrong. For this whole last 20 years, you know, the global government has been trying to break down any moral absolutes and bring a gray area into everything. But in Yahweh's kingdom, there is no gray area. And there is black and white, and there is right and wrong. And there's people that we should be fellowshipping with and we should be close to, and there's people we should be avoiding. Very simple. Matthew 26 and verse 14. Here's Judas. One of the 12. Can you imagine? He was chosen as one of the 12 apostles. He sat there with Yeshua when Yeshua said to him at that last Passover, you 12 will be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And yet look, verse 14 of Matthew 26. Then one of the 12, going to the chief priest, the one called Judas Iscariot, said, what will you give me and I will deliver him up to you? And they weighed to him 30 pieces of silver. And from then he sought opportunity that he might betray him. Wow. Can you imagine what would get in someone's mind that you're with the Messiah, you're with Yeshua, you're there with him for 3 years almost. And yet, over some physical thing, you know what? Maybe he didn't like Yeshua's theology. Maybe he didn't like the fact that Yeshua, you know, they say that Judas Iscariot was a zealot, that he was preaching, love your enemy, love your enemies. Where Judas is thinking, you know, when are we going to start fighting against these guys? Maybe that there's theories. Maybe he was trying to push Yeshua's hand. You know, that if they came after him, then Yeshua would stand. Who knows? Who knows what warped, perverted thinking got into his mind? All I know is he did it. That he actually denied, he actually betrayed our very Savior. And like I said before, the alliances we make show the character we have or the lack of it. The alliances we make show the character we have or the lack of it. Verse 21. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. In grieving exceedingly, they began to say to each of the masters, that I? But answering, he said, the one dipping the hand with me in the dish will betray me. Indeed, the Son of Man goes, as it has been written about him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It were good for him if that man was never born. And answering the traitor, Judas said, is it I, Rabbi? And he said to him, you have said it. By our words we will be justified. By our words we will be condemned. You have said it. And I'm telling you, this is so serious. It is so serious that we realize we have to guard every part of our life. You know, if we're not Bible studying every day, if we're not praying every day, if we're not fasting, if we're not keeping our focus
on Yahweh and His kingdom and on His mercy, what's going to happen? You know? What's going to happen? I mean, I'm sure this did not happen to Judas overnight. I'm sure it took time. I'm sure there's things that came in his heart. I'm sure somehow he was thinking that he was getting the raw end of the stick. Whatever it was. But somehow over time, he went from Judas, one of the 12, to Judas the traitor. Scary, scary, scary thought. Let's go to Titus 1. Titus 1. Titus 1 in verse 10 and 11. He says, "For there are indeed many insubordinate men, empty talkers and deceivers of the people, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouth you must stop, who overturn whole houses, teaching things which they ought not to, for the sake of ill gain." Verse 14, "Not listening to Jewish fables and commandments of men, having turned away from the truth. Truly all things are pure to the pure, but nothing is pure to those being defiled and faithless. But even their mind and their conscience has been defiled. They profess to know Yahweh, but by their works they deny Him, and they are abominable and disobedient, condemning every kind of good work." Wow. Can you imagine? Like I said, these are people that are claiming the Torah. These are people that are claiming they're following Yeshua. And yet to good works that people are doing, they condemn. And their mind is continuously running to evil. To the pure, all things are pure. But nothing is pure to those defiled and faithless. How many times are people assuming things? Judging. You know, well, so-and-so doesn't like me. Well, how do you know that? Well, by the way he looks. Did he ever say that to you? No. How many times are we falsely accusing somebody by things that are our perception in our mind? And how many times are these sneaky people sneaking into the congregations to look for the weakest person in that congregation, trying to pull them away? How evil it is in the eyes of Yahweh. How evil it is in the eyes of Yahweh that people that would come with no fruits, with no love, with no morals, only for their own self-will to bring some kind of false doctrine. We've seen it in so many times in our congregations. Somebody comes in a week or two, before your book, here comes the doctrine. They're just waiting for the opportunity to teach it. You know, whether it's the false doctrine of the Sabbath floating or Yeshua and I, whatever it is. There's so many of them, I don't even have the time to get into it. But these evil people that will do this, and they're just waiting there, ready to trounce on the weakest link. How sad is Titus 2, verse 15. Look what he says. "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Chapter 3. "Remind them to be obedient and submissive to rulers and authorities, to be ready in every good work." Why is it something wrong to follow our leaders? Why all of a sudden did it become something evil to work in cooperation? Why is it something evil to be submissive to one another? Why all of a sudden did that become something evil? Because in Babylon, like I said, when there's two heads of the family, you see it with the women over the men, but you also see it in the family of Yahweh. They don't want to be under anybody's authority. They can't do it. So I ask, how on earth can they ever be in the kingdom? How can you ever be in the kingdom? Do you really think it's going to be Yahweh, Yeshua, and you? If you can't work within a framework of having somebody over you in authority, you could never be in a kingdom situation. Because you're not going to be the king. We already have one. We already have the ultimate supreme deity, Yahweh the Father. We also have the King of Kings and Master of Masters, Yeshua His Son. And we will be, chances are most of us will, if we make it, we'll be right on the bottom link there. So if we have that attitude, we are setting ourselves up for failure that we will not be in His kingdom. It is a serious, serious thing. Verse 8 through 11. "Faithful is the word, and concerning these things I desire you strongly to affirm that the ones believing Yahweh should take thought to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish questionings and genealogies and contentions and theological arguments of the scribes, for they are profitable and vain." They want to argue with you about all these technical things. It's worthless. It's worthless. And you see, where's the love? "All men will know you are my disciples by this, if you have love one for another." So, of course, obedience and love, they go hand in hand. But there's no obedience or love. There's neither there. But after the first and second warning, avoid a man of heresy, knowing that he who has been such is corrupt, he sins and condemns himself. And brethren, sorry to say, like I said, in more than 28 years in the truth, what I've seen is Most of these people do not change. Praise Yahweh, every now and then somebody will, but most of these people do not change. They do not change. They're doing the same thing. They do not change. And it's just a sad reality. Let's go to Jude very quickly. Yehuda or Jude. And verse 8. Okay. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh and despise authority and speak evil of glories. But Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he argued about the body of Moses. He dared not bring a judgment of blasphemy, but said, "Let Yahweh rebuke you." Wow, can you imagine? That Michael the archangel wouldn't even bring, like he says, a judgment of blasphemy against the devil himself, but says, "Let Yahweh rebuke you." But like it says, these people, they're not afraid to speak against authorities or dignities. And it's exactly what Satan the devil did. You know, you can look in Isaiah 14. I will ascend to the Most High. I will be like the Most High. I will go into the heavens. I, over and over and over. You know, Satan was the same way. Satan could not be number three in the kingdom. I'm over here saying, do you really think you'd be number three? Well, Satan was number three and it wouldn't work. Even if you were number three, it wouldn't be good enough. Sooner or later, you'd want to be over Yahweh and you'd want to be over Yeshua. It's just the way it is. If you cannot submit yourself to another human being, you will never submit yourself to Yahweh and Yeshua. And you're kidding yourself. Because most of these people, when they say, it's only me and Yahweh, they're really saying, it's only me and me. Because Yahweh's not here and Yahweh's not telling them. They're telling all their own things in their own mind. And then they're falsely accusing that it's Yahweh giving them these commands. I don't see it in Scripture. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. I don't see in Scripture where we should separate ourselves from the body of Messiah. I don't see in Scripture where we should have no kinds of checks and balances, where we should have no type of leadership or elders or anything in the congregation. It's just not scriptural. But what things they do, verse 10, but what things they do not know, they speak evil of these. And what things they understand naturally, like the animals without reason, they are corrupted by these. Woe to them, because they went the way of Cain and gave themselves up to the error of Balaam. Here it is again. Once again, the error of Balaam, double-mindedness for reward, and perished in the speaking against Korah. These are those who lead a wasteful, feasting life that is blemished, feeding themselves without fear, waterless clouds, again, absolutely no fruit being born, being carried about by winds, fruitless autumn trees, having died twice, having been plucked up by the roots. Died twice, because they died first, and then they were immersed, and now they died again. It's a scary, scary stuff. Wild waves of the sea foaming up their shames, wandering stars for whom blackness of darkness has been kept to the age. Verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, going according to their lusts, and their mouth speaks proud, flattering words, lifting up faces for the sake of gain. But you, beloved, remember the words spoken before by the apostles of our Master Yeshua Messiah, because they told you that at the last time there will be mockers following wickedness according to their lust. These are they setting themselves apart, animal-like ones not having the Spirit. These are they setting themselves apart. They don't want to be part of any work that Yahweh is doing. They don't want to be part of anything with a man involved. And the Bible says here, when you look at the end of it, it is absolutely scary. I'm just going to leave here with a couple of Proverbs, and then we'll end. Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Proverbs 10 and verse 18 says, "He who hides hatred with lying lips, and he who sends out slander, he is a fool." He who hides hatred with lying lips, and he who sends out slander is a fool. And like I said, most of these people that are doing this do not believe a word they say, because their words are all twisted and corrupted and maligned. Proverbs 11 and verse 3, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the perversity of traitors will destroy them." The integrity of the upright guides them, but the perversity of traitors will destroy them. Said it many times in this message, the alliances we make show the character we have or the lack of it. The alliances we make show the character we have or the lack of it. And one last scripture here, Proverbs 13 and verse 20. "He who walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be broken." He who walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be broken. Remember, Yeshua had the 70, the 12, and the 3, Peter, James, and John. We need to carefully choose our inner circle and the people whom are in our daily life, as it is most certain bad communications, bad companionships will ruin good habits. God bless you.